Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today in this Holy Week to take a look at the life of St. Peter. We began yesterday just reflecting on the ups and downs of Peter's life. The Lord gives us kind of the full range of Peter's story throughout the Scripture, throughout the New Testament, the Gospels, and of course, the whole Acts of the Apostles and Peter's letters. We see the transformation in Peter's life, and Peter's unique call and unique relationship with Jesus is at the center of part of the drama that's happening this week in Holy Week. Of course, the Lord himself is at the center of it. He's making his way to Calvary to lay down his life, to make his life an offering and sacrifice to God, to come to take away sin, to blot out sin, to disarm the principalities and powers, to do the ultimate spiritual battle that makes it possible for us to be free. And in the midst of this whole story is the drama of the life of the apostles and even of Our Lady in this week and those who are followers of Jesus we can see. And ultimately on Friday, it'll climax with the drama of the crucifixion. St. John Paul II used to say that what we see there in the crucifixion is we see the face of man, the face of God, and the face of sin, that so much is revealed in this week. It's many difficult things, painful things are being revealed, and at the core of it is a revelation of the heart of man, of the sinfulness that's in the human heart, how deep it is, how real it is, how deadly it is, and how much at the core of the human heart is a resistance to God and the resistance to the will of God, number one, number two, but also how much of it is about self-preservation and protecting oneself, and you see that in the life of St. Peter. And so yesterday we touched on both that amazing passage in Matthew 16, where Jesus asked the question of the apostles, who do you say that I am? And they say, you know, you're basically, many people think you're one of the prophets, but Jesus said, yeah, but who do you say that I am? And then Peter speaks out under the anointing of the grace of the Holy Spirit with the help of the Father, which so pleased Jesus. Peter stands up and he articulates, you're the Christ, you're the Son of God, you're God's only Son, and you are the Messiah of Israel. And Jesus then goes on, of course, to establish Peter. Peter stands up in that moment, and he makes the declaration of who Jesus is. He's the spokesman on behalf of the apostles. He said, this is who you are, Lord. This is who we believe you to be. And so then the amazing moment in which Jesus establishes Peter, giving him a new name, like he did with others in the Old Testament, Abraham and others, and gave him a new role and authority, gave him the keys to the kingdom of heaven, he said. He gave him the power to bind and loose, and he established him as the first vicar of Christ, the prime minister of the king of the kingdom. And so much in that moment of Peter's elevated to an extraordinary level. And then in the next period, the very next set of verses, Jesus then says, okay, you know, here's kind of the chronology almost, or the flow of it, where Peter makes the confession, that he declares who Jesus is. Jesus affirms it, he establishes Peter, and he has the apostles now, and he's speaking from that fuller revelation of himself. And he said, now the Son of Man must suffer and die. And then Peter says, no, he says, the gospel reading says, Peter rebuked Jesus, said, no, this will never happen. And then Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. And so Peter is confronted by, in that moment, his weakness. Jesus said, you're acting essentially from the flesh as a man. You're not speaking and aligning yourself with God the Father, with me. You're not helping Peter. And in his great zeal to stand up and say, no, Lord, it has to be different. We're going to protect you. Whatever was in his mind and heart, whatever he thought was going to happen with Jesus and the apostles and Jesus' reign and dominion as the Messiah. Nonetheless, what happened was that same brother who was raised up, in the moment, he literally is speaking from a different spirit, from his fallen nature, from his flesh. And Jesus corrects him and rebukes him. Of course, then we get to that. We mentioned the Last Supper, where Jesus tells the apostles that they're all going to fall away on account of Jesus. And then Peter steps forward and he said, even if all these other guys fall away, I'm not going to fall away. I will never fall away. And he said, I will never disown you. So Peter's relying on his own strength. I mean, none of the apostles want to fall away. They're all surprised that Jesus would say that about them, but they had no idea of the spiritual battle that was about to unfold. they still not had fully grasped the powers of darkness, the power of Satan, the power of the world, the power of the flesh, and in that whole colluding, the coming together of these forces conniving together are coming after Jesus. Jesus had said, the devil's coming after me. They didn't and couldn't grasp the depth of the power of the reign of sin and death, the dominion of darkness, and how in their lives they were still subject to it. And they didn't realize it, but they needed Jesus to go to the cross and through the shedding of his blood to disarm the principalities and powers and to have his light shine in the darkness, to dispel the darkness and pass through death and enter into eternal life and bring about the new creation, a new life, life beyond death, life free from the dominion of darkness, from the powers of the world, the flesh, and the devil. But Peter and the apostles had to go through the drama. Now let's take a look at Matthew's account of Peter's denial, chapter 26 of Matthew's gospel, starting in verse 69. And now Jesus has been arrested, and then Peter had followed Jesus at a distance. He didn't want to get too close. He didn't want to be recognized. They were not too far away from where Jesus was being brought before the Sanhedrin. Groups were gathering around a fire, and Peter was there. Verse 69 reads like this. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Verse 71, then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again, this time with an oath. I don't know the man. And so he's like swearing before God that he didn't know him. He wanted to convince them, so afraid. He was so gripped in fear of being identified directly with Jesus that he called on the name of God to say, no, I don't know the man. Verse 73, and after a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. So he had the accent from Galilee, which is different than folks in Jerusalem. Verse 74, then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, I don't know the man. He just doubled down each of the three times and he was more aggressively doing the very thing deep in his heart he didn't want to do. You could see the slavery of sin at work in Peter's life. The reading goes on. It says, immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you, Peter, will disown me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. He went outside and he wept bitterly. The drama that was unfolding in Peter's life, this man who Jesus was putting so much authority on. Jesus knew the weakness of Peter, but he also knew the potential greatness of Peter. And he knew what Peter could be like after he had confronted his own sinfulness, his own weakness, and came to the place of humility. Peter was humiliated here. Peter was broken. His heart was broken. And he probably was saying to himself, I can't believe I did that. A priest friend of mine, I think I've mentioned this on the program before, talking to me one day after confession, he was saying, you know, Peter, one thing you can be assured of that you'll never hear from Jesus when he's thinking about you is that you'll never hear him say, Peter, I can't believe you did that. He knows our frame, Scripture says. He knows our weakness. And at the climactic moment, when Jesus needed his brethren to stand with him more than ever, and probably Peter wanted to be there more than ever, Peter, who would be the first pope, confronted in the most dramatic way the power of sin, the power of sin that was within him, the fallen nature, the weakness of the human heart. And in that moment, Peter's response was so different than Judas, who had betrayed Jesus. Peter went outside and he wept bitterly. He wept for his sins. And that's a really good thing. That's a really healthy thing to do. It's a good question to ask ourselves. Have you wept for the sin in your life? Have I wept for the sin in my life? I mean, it's grace that brings us to that place. Every once in a while, you know, as we're following the Lord and meditating on Scripture or being before the Lord or we're at confession, we come to terms with our failures. We come to terms with our sin and our agreement with sin. And it's God's grace that allows us to see the depth of it, our powerlessness before it on our own strength, and to have a broken heart over the reality of yielding to sin because of sin's consequence. It reveals so much about what's in the human heart. And this is what Jesus came to heal. The prophets of Ezekiel and Jeremiah and others promised. God said, I'm coming to give you a new heart because your heart is sick. There's a dimension of at the core of your being that's wounded and wounded by sin. And you need a new heart. You need a new nature. You need new life. You need first the forgiveness of your sins. And the death of Jesus on the cross makes it possible. There's a moment, I think it's in Luke's account, where he's talking about Peter's denial. In verse 61, it said, after Peter had denied Jesus, it says in 61, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. He could see him at a distance. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord and how he had said to him, before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and he wept bitterly, same line that Matthew used. There's a painting, I think it's Caravaggio, I'm not sure who did it, of this famous moment where Peter, the eyes of Peter and Jesus meet. And I can imagine the sadness that was in the eyes of Jesus, but also the great compassion, because he understood exactly. He understood Peter's weakness. He wasn't surprised by Peter's weakness. He may have been hurt by it in his heart, but he wasn't surprised because he knew the state of man. He knew what was in the human heart. He knew the spiritual battle and how serious it was that was unfolding. But he also knew, as a good shepherd, Peter needed to come to the place where he experienced his actual weakness, his failure. He needed to be humbled because he was about to bear, after Jesus passed and Acts 2 begins to unfold and the birth of the church, Peter was the leader. And he was carrying extraordinary responsibility and power in his life. And what he needed was a humble heart, a tender heart, a loving heart that's been healed, had been deeply wounded, but healed by the love and mercy of the Lord. And we know there's a beautiful scene toward the end of in John's gospel after Jesus rose from the dead and the apostles saw him on the shore. And Jesus asked Peter, it's the first time Peter saw him really in John's account after this failure. And Jesus asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? That's the central concern of the Lord. And Peter said, Jesus, you know I love you. You know I love you. He said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And it's from this place of humility that he has a new power and a new capacity, and with the grace of the Holy Spirit, to give his whole life in love to Jesus, walking in the freedom and a capacity to do it because of Jesus' death on the cross and his rising. God bless you, friends. I hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.